We had a lot of very, very good cars. And what we look for is cars that are going to move the needle a little bit in their particular class. So you look at the three finalists. We had the Cadillac ATS, Honda Accord, and the Ford Fusion. I think the Fusion was hurt a little bit by recalls. That didn't make them look very good. And so I think they lost some points there, just judging by what some of my pals have said. The Honda Accord, certainly the best Accord ever made, and that's happened every generation. Does it stand out? They were pretty timid with the styling, I think, or certainly cautious. The rest of the car is very good, but is it ahead of the field, or are they playing catch-up? It's unusual for Honda, but I think they're in the latter category. They're playing catch-up. The ATS is something all new for Cadillac, and anybody that mentions the Cadillac Cimarron now is going to be shot on the spot by somebody from Cadillac marketing. All new car, all new platform, and such excruciating detail in the engineering. Such a lovely car to drive. I think that's why it emerged. And it was, it emerged with a very strong percentage of the votes.
The Cadillac Cimarron. I did not expect Tony Swann to go there. That's editor-at-large of Car and Driver magazine. Tony Swann, our Scott Pohl talked with Tony at the North American International Auto Show, and Tony was on the jury that chose the Cadillac ATS as the North American International Auto Show Car of the Year, the Lansing-made Cadillac ATS. And at the auto show, he said that in his 20 years on the jury, this was the best field of cars he has ever seen. So that's quite an endorsement for the current crop of cars. MLive's Angela Whitrock stands by to talk a little bit more about that, about GM and other business and economic news. How are you this morning?
Fabulous and cold. How are you, Mark?
Fabulous and cold and snowy.
Very snowy.
That's right. We've got General Motors was in the news as well just a couple of days ago, and you've been following this. Is government Motors about to become history?
It is, yes. The federal government is preparing to sell off the rest of its shares, about 300 million shares of GM that remain. This is huge, actually. General Motors bought back about 200 shares in December. 200 million shares in December. So these remaining 300 million shares will go on the market, and hopefully for more than what the last round of sales went for.
The prices are a little bit higher than just a month ago, right?
And like you mentioned, you know, this strong crop of cars that are being fielded, it's like the barometer has moved higher for the entire class of cars worldwide. GM is still floating near the top, and that's helping their stock prices. So that will be a better deal for taxpayers ultimately, because a lot of these shares will go for higher than the last round did.
You can only imagine how annoying the whole Government Motors moniker became for Dan Akerson, the guy who wants to turn this company around. It's so many other people at the top of GM.
Right, and you know, to be fair, a lot of auto companies over the years have taken advantage of various federal tax incentives, federal loans, low-interest loan guarantees. I mean, there's never been a time in American history, really, where the government hasn't been part of the auto industry.
Well,
that
Chrysler,
speaks to,
sure, the Chrysler bailout.
That speaks to how important the auto industry is to the states and states like Michigan.
Lindsay Van Hulley's piece, this is the second week in a row we've invoked Lindsay's work in the Lansing State Journal, but her piece yesterday on the luxury rental market in Lansing was very interesting. Apparently, the demand for higher-end rental units in Lansing is going up, at least to listen to developers like Pat Gillespie and others.
Right, yeah, and that's something that I think is surprising a lot of people. If you follow a lot of development news, maybe it's not so shocking, but you know, there are folks who don't want to buy a home, who don't want to be tied down, as Lindsay mentioned in her story, who want to have the flexibility to move in somewhere and not have to maintain a home, not have to mow a lawn, not have to shovel a sidewalk, and still have all the amenities you would have if you perhaps bought a home in White Hills, but without, you know, cleaning out the gutters yourself. And I think what that does is that attracts the same sort of folks to the city that the city realizes has historically been important to upping the average income and spending more money locally, what we used to call the creative class, but what we now think of more as young urban professionals who have good paying jobs and want to stay close to downtown.
I noticed the threshold, they peg the threshold for what the luxury market starts at $900, but the average rental prices in Lansing are significantly less than that. It triggered the inevitable question over whether or not some number of people are going to end up being priced out of downtown Lansing apartments.
I think that's always a, you know, it's a delicate balance. It's cynically what we would call gentrification.
Sure.
You know, folks move into a cool, hip area and push out the lower income residents. I think, you know, there has to be a concerted effort to make sure that the city is accessible to everyone who wants to live there. And I'm sure that this is something that, you know, the brilliant minds of the city like Joan Jackson Johnson and Bob Johnson will be looking at to make sure it happens.
And local governments love the revenue, as Lindsay pointed out in her piece. I mean, it is, I found it surprisingly encouraging news about the city of Lansing. But at the same time, there is this piece about some people being priced out. But the local governments love the revenue that goes with it, too.
Right. And, you know, the great thing about a city like Lansing is that it is so large, it can absorb a tremendous amount of folks. There is a huge stock of housing still ready. You know, I don't think there's any immediate danger in someone not being able to find affordable housing. Maybe 10 years down the road, it'll be something more pressing. And, you know, you would hope that city officials would start looking at the mechanics to make sure that doesn't happen.
What's the status? You did some reporting here late last week on the status of the Lansing Brewing Company moving into the Stadium District. It still looks like a go, but it's taking a little longer to unfold.
Right. Well, Pat Gillespie, who you mentioned earlier, he runs the Stadium District. That's his development. He and the owner of the Lansing Brewing Company, Mark Sellers, have yet to reach an agreement on a lease. Now, the space they're looking at is this northwest corner, which has yet to be occupied since the inception of the Stadium District. It would be, you know, really quite a fabulous location if we could have a brew pub across the street from, you know, the actual stadium. But right now it's looking a little iffy, but both sides are pretty hopeful that they can get a deal done in time to make sure everything happens on schedule.
This is over 6,000 square feet.
Correct,
as
yes.
I understand. Okay. And this guy is also, you mentioned this last week, the Hopcat.
Right.
And you referred to this in your MLive story as the Hopcat concept,
right,
in a way. What did that mean?
Well, this is why folks are so excited about the Lansing Brewing Company and the Hopcat East Lansing coming. Mark Sellers has a tremendous reputation. And what he did with the Hopcat concept is offer craft beers on tap. What we would have in East Lansing, and that's a go, is about 100 craft beers on tap at the corner of Grove and Albert, I believe.
The residences.
The residences, yeah. Yep. And, you know, again, this would be really something that appeals to the same market of folks who are looking at these luxury apartments, craft beers, and, you know, spending more money downtown.
What stories are you covering here the rest of the week, today and the rest of the week?
I'm looking again at gas prices. I'm looking at what we're going to see in the State of the City address from Lansing Mayor Virge Bonero, and trying to follow along these wonderful car news we're hearing about.
Have you given any more thought to going to the car show?
I have, because I really want to see the Viper and the new Corvette.
That was the other big story in the Free Press yesterday. They did pages on the new Viper from Chrysler.
Yeah, it looks amazing and, as you know, fast.
I love going to the car show, but I prefer to go Sunday as opposed to Saturday. Saturday, it can be a madhouse, but that's success for you. MLive's Angela Whitrock, many thanks.
Thanks, Mark.